Shall we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6? And we're reading verses from verse 12 to 15. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. On Monday we have seen what is the application of the kingdom part while we are living here. Now in our individual lives and also in corporate lives, we need to experience His authority and learn to live to in subjection of our Master and the King. And yesterday we have seen also give us this daily bread. So not to asking for the luxuries of this life or our desires of this life, but our day-to-day needs may be met by Him, and that is also His promise. But in verse 12, forgive us our debts and we as we forgive our debtors. So here the debts doesn't mean that whatever we owe to the other people, but it is what we are supposed to have done but did not do. Any trespasses which we committed, and those things, it is the Lord is asking us to come to Him and with the confession. It is not for the unbelievers when we go first time and ask the Lord for the forgiveness of sin and later on the sins which we committed, but as we read in book of John's Gospel, chapter 13, in verse 6 onwards, I am reading. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. But Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. You are clean, but not all. So here on the day when the Lord was delivered, betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and at the time of the supper, the Lord was washing the feet of the disciples. When it comes to Peter, Peter said, don't wash my feet. And the Lord said, now you know this now. And you will know later on. But then Peter said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. That is not in me, but is with me. That means, in the kingdom of glory appears, he will not be in with us in the ruling. And then the Lord said, then Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus was 9. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So then if that is the case, then you wash me everything. 10. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. So if anybody is already washed, but you need to wash only your feet, that means while you are walking in this journey, whatever your daily trespasses or the mistakes, failures, sins committed, that needed to be forgiven by the Lord, and as we remember and we come to the Lord, it is every believer must do on every daily basis. But if we have something and we do not seek the forgiveness of God, then that will remain as an unforgiven sin before the Lord. But in all those things, but if anything which is Lord to forgive those failures or sins or trespasses, the condition the Lord gives us is here, as we forgive our debtors. So before a sinner coming to the Lord to forgive our sin and sins, there is no condition. But once we become his disciples and accepted his name and received the salvation and the free gift of eternal life, freely justified, then the Lord, as you allow, and by faith he lives in us. That time, whatever, if you are not willing to forgive others in your heart, your sins also, even if you confess, they will remain. They will not be forgiven. We hear in verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, first time repented, accepted him, those conditions were not attached. But once you become a believer and come to the Lord, if you are not willing to forgive others' sins, and whatever your trespasses, they will remain with the Lord. And he can pick it up any time and bring it to our remembrance. So it is, before coming to the Lord, the sins which a person committed, the Lord's promise is those sins are forgiven and forgotten by the Lord. And he said, I will never remember them anymore. And they are cast into the bottoms of the sea, where there will not be any fishing. And he said also, sins are separated from as far as the east to the west. That means they will never meet and they will never be brought back. But as far as this is concerned, after we become believers, if anything which we are not willing to forgive others' trespasses, the Lord also will not forgive our trespasses. So we should be very, very clear on that matter. And what is that forgiveness means? We should never, the forgiveness in the sight of Lord is, what we expect from the Lord is, the Lord should never remember them again. Similarly, when we say that we forgive our brethren, if anybody has done anything, and our forgiveness is also, is like what the Lord does. That means he never remembers. And we should also never remember, and we should forgive and forget. Forget and forgive. But if you are remembering, and now that means you are not forgiving the way the Lord would like us to forgive, or the way the Lord has forgiven our sins. And we need to notice the difference. But that is the most difficult part of a Christian life. And whenever ego was hurt, whenever feelings and thoughts are not honored, and you are hurt by different aspects of the people with whom you deal with, and you still harbor a ill feeling, though you will say that I forgave, but inwardly there is a different kind of a heart condition prevails in the person's life. But if that is the condition, then the Lord will also similarly act with us, towards us. So book of Matthew, Mark chapter 11, verse 25 onwards. Mark 11, 25 onwards. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. So when you stand praying, that is the condition that the Lord was saying here. That when you stand up, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive. Then the Father who is in heaven also forgive your sins or trespasses. 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So the prayer is a person lifting his hands upwards to the heaven. When he lifts up both the hands, that is what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, man should pray everywhere lifting up their hands. So when you lift both your hands upwards to the heavenwards, you are saying to the Lord, Lord, this is the trespass and I have committed in my life. And that is against your principles, your law, your commandments. And I did not, my heart condition did not show obedience the way it should have done. But based on your love and mercy, you forgive me. So with one hand, by faith he receives the mercies and the forgiveness of God with one hand. And with another hand, by love, he will show forth the same nature towards the brethren, that I have tasted the mercies of the Lord and he forgave my sin, and the same love I would also show forth to my brethren. That is how my life will be found in good state towards my brethren and also towards my Lord. But any time, if I do not forgive a brother or a sister or anyone in my heart, I continue to harbor, and you may continue to pray or spend time in reading, understanding, even ministering, but there is a different distance between you and ours, between me and my Lord when I don't do that. So we need to be conscious of that. So when the forgiveness, it is not many times we say, if somebody comes and say, I'm sorry, then we say, I forgive and I don't remember, don't worry. But that is very superficially many times told by us. But inwardly, in our heart, and we never really forgot many things. And sometimes it is the times, years passed by, but still that was still lurking around in the hearts of men. If that is when we come to the prayer, and that is the one of the things which the Lord included in the Lord's prayer, that he knoweth all our hearts and how our thoughts would, and we expect that the Lord should forgive us, but we don't have the same kind of a heart to show forth the love, what we have tasted from the Lord, to the other brethren. So we would like to receive by faith the forgiveness from the Lord, but we don't want to show forth the love to the brethren to forgive the sins of, or any trespasses if they have committed anything to us. Book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So, it is the same thing, the way the Lord has done, you do that. And Paul was expounding the same, what the principle told by the Lord to the Colossians. But the Lord also gave another example, the book of Matthew chapter 18. So we know this parable. There was a man who owed to the king a lot of money. But he pleaded with the king. Then the king said, okay, I forgive you. But the man who has received the forgiveness from the king came out of the court of the king and got hold of another fellow servant who was very, very little money. Then he did not do well with his fellow servant. Then, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into the prison into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Forgive not from your heart. So that is very important. Then your heavenly Father will do the same thing for you. So in the olden days, if anyone owes money, and if that is paid off, then the paper or the slate which where it is written, the transaction deed, was completely wiped off. So that means it is not remembered anymore because it was paid off. So as far as our sins before coming to the Lord is concerned, God the Father has made it clean. So he said, I will not remember, because that penalty was paid by Jesus Christ, my Son and your Savior. So Father will say, I will never remember them. It is written off and also wiped off. But as long as our sins are concerned, after our new birth, especially our trespasses against our brethren, if we are not willing to forgive them, and they will not, they, though when you confess, the Lord will not even remember, the Lord will not even strike them off. He will keep that. So he will, if somebody will say that I will pay the penalty of his failures, but still that will still will be seen. So that means we need to be very careful after our new birth, our relationship with our Lord and our relationship with the brothers and sisters, which forms the church or the assembly, we need to be very careful. When we, before we move to the next verse, if you have any, anybody has any doubts, questions, we would go through them.
Brother.
Yes.
The Lord told Peter also, when Peter asked, how many times do I forgive? Seven yeah. times. And the Lord said, 70 times seven.
Yeah.
Then we see from the light of the word now that the forgiveness is one of the most important thing that we as a believer should take into consideration, because we have been forgiven.
Yeah.
For the Lord also, in the Lord's prayer, we see that also.
Yeah.
But as we go through this pilgrim journey, and as we saw from the Matthew, that we need to forgive from the heart.
Yes.
Which is where there are many unforgiveness sometimes still remains.
Yeah.
The cleansing that we saw with Peter in John 13, there is a daily cleansing, isn't it, brother?
There is a daily cleansing.
So if then the Spirit continues to reveal to our heart that unforgiveness there, take it to the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord will cleanse it. We should not turn away back to the same place, right?
Yes.
So if we do turn back, but then what is the consequence? The Lord will deal with us in this present life. Of course, we know if we continue till the end, we will lose the ruling, and we will be in the place where we will be chastised to make us holy. How do we continue in that? And then the Lord will, of course, we know all the scriptures, the grieving, the Holy Spirit and everything. So the Lord will deal with us.
Yes, it is in the following verses, it is there in the prayer.
Okay, brother.
And also I wanted to bring your attention. I will go back to once the one verse reading in Mark chapter 11. So, as you said, most of us having the difficulty to forgive the people from the bottom of our heart. That is, an issue for most of us. So how to overcome that one? And here the Lord said in book of Mark chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou causest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And 25, when you stand praying, forgive all you have, or to, if you have anything, ask against any. So now, in this, by the time we reach here, he said in the preceding verses, previous verses, that if we have faith, then even the mountain can be removed. And if you say that the mountain should be cast out into the sea, then that will be done. Mountain is, it is not something physical, but something which is very heavy on your heart. So which is not going away. It is very difficult to remove. Even that will be removed. So when you are grieved, or when you feel that I have some disliking, prejudice, agonist, so I forgive you, but I am not able to forget. It is something sitting like a mountain upon our hearts. What the Lord is saying, if you believe, that will be gone. That means by faith, when the Lord is living in our heart, then the love and the affection which he allows our hearts to spring forth, the same love and affection what the Lord has for the other brother, then we will be able to overcome that ill feeling towards the other people and forgive from the bottom of our hearts. Then our prayers will be answered. Otherwise, still that will be a distance between us and the Lord in our fellowship. So I move back to book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the next prayer request he says is, lead us not into temptation. And when after our new birth, and still as we live in the world and in the flesh, and there are many things which are not yet right with the Lord, and we have so many weaknesses and desires pertaining to this world, and our logical reasoning continue to lead us according to the senses of this world than the senses of the faith and hope, then our according to those things we are having, we oftentimes lead, we get into some things which are not actually in line or in harmony with the things of the Lord. But we need to be conscious that if any of my weaknesses or my desires which are contrary to the things of the Lord's purposes or counsels, if they are pulling me or dragging me into those things, I need to be aware. And wherever I am giving or feeding those senses which are contrary to the functionality based upon faith and hope, then the enemy will put a fiery dart upon those weak taps on our life and put us into the temptation. So book of James chapter 1. Verse 13, but let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with the evil one, with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So it is our lust, and which is conceived and bringing forth sin, and the sin ultimately leading into death. Death means here the separation between God and us. So God will never tempt us to do something, to commit sin. That is not of the Lord's character. But we, because of our own things, we are dragged into, and by seeing our weaknesses, the enemy will put immediately some doubts upon us, and we are committing mistakes and sins. And in that regard, he says, a man should be aware of his own frame, weaknesses, and how these things will lead me into the hands of the Satan, and how I will be drawn away from my God. Then ultimately the enemy will make me to commit sin, and brings the different distance between God and me. We need to be conscious of that state. What is the frame of our mind? For example, David, in his weakness, the way he committed sin with Bathsheba, and later on to cover that up, then he has plotted against Uriah to kill him, to got him killed. And that is, he was enticed by his desire and the lust of his flesh, and he committed that. And ultimately it brought death. So when we are conceived by or desired of those lusts, the enemy will make the way so that we may get into the trap of him. The Lord wants to be conscious of that, aware of those tricks. Then he said, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. And those both are connected, but deliver us means that. So when he is going to use our weaknesses to bring us into some kind of a trouble, or weaning away from the Lord and making us to commit something which is contrary to the plan of God for our life, then the prayer should be, Lord, lead us not into temptation. It is not that he is going to lead, that we are going to be led by our desires and lusts, and deliver us from the evil one so that he may not drag us into those things. So when in our conscience, knowingly that we are not able to forgive the sin or the trespasses of the brethren or anybody, and they are still there in our heart, and we have not forgotten, and still harboring in our hearts about those things committed by others towards us, then those consciousness, the sensitivity towards the Lord is slowly deteriorating. And a kind of smoke is arising from our heart, which is not good. And that one, when it is forming a thick cloud between me and my God because of my heart condition towards my brethren, then I will be easily be tempted, because that distance or the separation because of my heart condition is not right with my Lord, then I will be easily be tempted. And then also, I will be, instead of being delivered from the evil one, I will be brought into the condition of, into the hands of the evil one. That is how my life will be deteriorating from good condition to the negative side. So it is very important that how I maintain my heart's relationship with my God and my brothers and sisters and all. Otherwise, that my marred condition of my heart condition my heart condition, which is not being maintained well with the Lord, will lead me into temptation because I am slowly losing the sensitivity to sense what is it coming from within and without, and both ways. Then I am giving opportunity to the evil one to drag me into further deterioration of my spiritual life. So as long as my weaknesses are still there and I am not able to overcome those things, and all my temptations are coming from within. If I sense those things and guard myself from those temptations, and through richly the word of God living in me, and I am able to maintain the consciously a right fellowship with the Spirit's leading, then I will be able to avoid those things. And when I am able to avoid those things, then the evil one try to tempt me from outside. So when I am not giving any scope from inside, then he will try to work from outside, from none of my mistakes, then the evil one will come and try to attack me. So if I am not able to withstand the evil one, then I will fail. And that is what he is interested in to see in my life. But the Lord has made enough provisions for both. So within and without, whatever the temptation comes unto us, then the Lord will continue to take care of us when we are maintaining a good relationship with him by forgiving and forgetting, or forgiving from the heart towards the brethren, so that there is no separation in our relationship and fellowship with the Lord. And that gives us the sensitivity to understand where the temptation is coming from within, and how I need to guard myself, or if it is coming from without, and how the evil one will be taken care by the power of the Lord and deliver me from the evil one. And both the things, we need to be conscious of that. So we can see from a few example references, Book of John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them out of the evil one. So here, this was the last prayer when the Lord was praying before the same night when he was betrayed. And he was praying for his disciples, that means for all of us. The prayer was, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. So we are going to be here in the world, and we also need to overcome the evil one. But to overcome the evil one, without fighting, there is no whether we have overcome or him or now, that will not be known. And we need to be in the battle. And whatever he brings, the fiery darts upon us, we need to be able to withstand and defeat him. Then we will be called as overcomers. And correspondingly, there is a reward also for that. And he said, Father, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but whenever the evil one tries to attack them, you keep them out of the evil one. That means even the evil one attacks them, that to overcome him or to come out of those situations unscathed, that thou may protect them. Then we see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So here we see there the Lord's prayer continually be for us, that the Father will, when we are maintaining that right relationship with him, the Father's provision to keep us from out of the evil ones. And here we see what the resource he provided for us. He said, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So when the temptation is not coming from within, the evil one which is going to bring us into, and how do we overcome that one is by taking the shield of faith. So that means the Lord is in me, the Lord is the overcomer of the Satan, and the Lord has called me for a glorious purpose of his kingdom and glory, and that is working like an anchor and hope in my life. So I will stand firm in my Lord's strength. So here's all the tactics and the cunning methods will be defeated through that faith. Then in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 3. I will read from verses 1 to 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you or guard you from the evil one. So it is again the Lord who is going to keep us when the wicked people, though they may be with the Paul and they do not have the faith, but they wanted to do harm him to him, but the Lord is going to keep the faith, because the Lord is faithful, he is going to guard the believers in Thessalonica also in the same way, the way the Paul has been protected. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because we have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write unto you, ye little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, you have overcome the wicked one. So in these two verses, we see how the young man has overcome. So here fathers, young men, and the little children, and three groups of people were divided. If you take the young men, those who are fairly new and very strong in the Lord and have a lot of vigor, energy, and very active in the Lord, and he is telling them, and I write unto you, young men, because you already overcame, and you overcame the wicked one. But how did you overcome? He said, you are strong and the word of God abideth in you. So there we see three provisions. One, the shield of faith. Second, and through faith they are believing in the Lord who has God made the provision to deliver out of that evil one. Third, the word richly dwelling in them. That is how the evil one will not touch them. And that touch them means it is not that he is not going to try them, but he will use all his ways to attack them. But this man has overcame the evil one. And it is very nice to see a group of people, young men, where John was writing to this letter. And those in the assembly, that young men overcame from the evil one, from the attacks of the evil one, because the word of God richly dwelling in them. And in chapter 5, the same book, verses 18 and 19. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. So in verse 18, I want, if anybody has got other translation, please read that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18.
We know that anyone born of God does not habitually sin, but he who was born of God carefully keeps and protect him, and the evil one does not touch him.
So the phrase in between, God keepeth And but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So who is keeping? The person is supposed to keep himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. That means the person who is begotten of God habitually does not commit sin, and he will keep himself, so evil one will not touch him. And that is one translation. But there is another translation, I am going to read that now. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, who is begotten of God, keep him, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So there, the one who is begotten of God, the person, keepeth himself. But in this translation, in this version, God keepeth him. Do you notice that one? One, a person who is begotten of God keeping himself. That means he is conscious. And what is coming from the outside. How he need to behave in that matter. And how he need to guard himself. And how he need to use the shield of faith. And how he need to conduct himself in the light of the word. To overcome the evil one. That is what the person does. But while the person does, what this version says, God keepeth him from the evil one. So he will not allow the evil one to touch him. When we are all continually maintaining that consciously sensible, a sensitive relationship with the Lord, and not habitually committing sin, and we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, and the fellowship which is maintained between the person and the Lord and God, and God keepeth him, so that the evil one will not touch him. So as the brother has asked, if I do not forgive the trespasses of my brethren from the heart, what happens? Then slowly the degeneration, and this is the one which will act upon us.
Here it is that he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. So begotten of God is only one.
No, that is only begotten of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Begotten here means who is born again, who is born of. Or John's Gospel chapter 1, we see. Look at John's Gospel chapter 1. Verse 12 and 13 I am reading. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God. Even to them that believe in his name. Or in the margin it is written, begotten, which were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here it is referred to us. Name is referring to in 1 John chapter 5 verse 18 is also referring to the believers. Who is totally born again, that is believing in the Lord in a real sense. So that is the meaning there. So we see here in, if you take that verse in verse 18, where man's responsibility to not habitually committing sin and keeping our conscience clean before God and between us and God, that is our responsibility. And as we are walking in the light, in fellowship with the Lord will also keep us from the evil one. And when we are lightly taking the word of God, and mixing so many things with our life, then it is easy for the evil one to attack us and overcome us. And one of the conditions here is when we are failing to forgive our brethren from the heart. That means there is our sins which are still in the presence of the Lord unforgiven. And that is not a good condition to be found in the presence of the Lord with that state.
Brother, in Telugu Bible, verse 17, for the English verse 18.
Okay.
Devani moolamuga puttiyunna vaadu evadanu paapamu cheyadani erugudamu. Devani moolamuga puttina vaadu tannu bhadramu chesukonunu ganuka dustudu vaani muttadu.
Yeah, that is in 18. So there, the believer is taking care of him.
Yeah.
And in this translation, he said the Lord also keeps him. That is the meaning. Both it is said. So what I will led to believe is, man has a responsibility to live properly. He keeps. And the Lord also keepeth. Both.
Brother, in the classic amplified, what you are mentioning, that is very clearly mentioned here. I'll read it for you.
Yeah, please.
It's just one second. And I'll read the last part. Yeah, one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protect him. Christ's divine presence will him preserve him against the evil.
Yeah, so both are there. He keeps, and also there is a preservance from the Lord. So that is exactly mixed in both the things were put together in that verse. So you read it again, Hemant, for all of us.
Yeah, I'll read it the whole verse full, to 18. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him or touch him.
Uncle, Hindi mein bhi na, jo uska matlab hai, wo yehi hai ki main padhti hu usme se 18 verse. Par Parmeshwar se utpann hua, उसे वह बचाए रखता है. वह मीन्स परमेश्वर बचाए रखता है.
okay.
और वह दुष्ट उसे छूने नहीं पाता. तो जो भैया पढ़ रहे हैं, दैट इज सिमिलर टू हिंदी.
सो दैट इज अ वेरी नाइस प्रोविजन फ्रॉम द लॉर्ड व्हेन वी आर हैविंग अ राइट रिलेशनशिप विद द लॉर्ड. बट व्हेन अ पर्सन इज इन्वॉल्व डेलिबरेटली कमिटिंग सिन, देन वी आर गिविंग अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर द ईविल वन टू टच अस. But when we are walking with the Lord, then the Lord will help us and protect us to overcome the evil one. So verse 14, Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That means they will remain till we forgive the trespasses of the others. Then the Lord will also keep them holy against our account. So somebody can close in prayer.